This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Thursday, September 30th, final day in the month of September. You know, this weekend, the calendar turns to October. Everybody's got to get a Halloween costume. In the Northeast, the colors of the leaves change colors. It's so nice. I used to like it, but I don't really miss that being out here in California where it is going to be 79 degrees on Saturday. Sports, folks. Today's guest, probably a top 10 interview I've done in the year plus we've had the pod. His name is Rufus Peabody. I had never really spoken to him at length, although he reminded me he had come on my radio show once. Super sharp guy. Went to Yale. Professional gambler. Like, that's all he does. Doesn't have a 9-to-5. Doesn't work on contract for anybody. Just professional gambler. He's a big time pro, and he moves golf markets. If you guys remember Preston Johnson, a friend of the podcast, he's long been a big fan of Rufus's. And I asked Preston, I said, hey, man, we've had a lot of gamblers on the pod, and feel like the well is running low. He goes, have you had Rufus Peabody on? I was like, maybe I should get him. Will he do it? Because I've never really talked to Rufus, and he's a bit of a different dude. He does a podcast with Jeff Ma, who I used to be friendly with, but I guess Jeff Ma's not a fan of my work anymore. Maybe he considers me a sellout, having gone to Fox. I don't know. At any rate, Rufus Peabody is phenomenal. He gives out a couple winners at the end of the podcast. He's got a really cool new website that I think you're going to like. And I know not everybody here is going to be into the numbers and wanting to do a model, but I think it can help you. And if you can spend the 30 minutes, you know, tinkering with the website, even 15, 10, whatever you got, I think it's going to help you in the long run. It's, you know, it's probably what he's built is certainly a level above my pay grade, but I'm willing to put in the time because I want to get better at this. I think you're going to really like the interview. At the end of the pod, I will give my Thursday night football pick. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to give it anyway. Last Thursday was an easy winner, Carolina. Monday was a fairly easy Dallas winner, although my teaser with the Eagles got screwed. But nevertheless, we roll on. A couple stories. First of all, we don't really talk a lot of baseball in this podcast, but just two wacky stories. First of all, the St. Louis Cardinals had a 17-game winning streak, which is bananas. And it got snapped last night. And, you know, 17-game winning streak is unbelievable. I was not really aware of what was happening. But they have been on such a tear. They couldn't quite catch the Brewers. But they're in the postseason. Postseason's looking like Atlanta Braves, Brewers, Cardinals, Giants, Dodgers. Almost all set in the NL. In the AL, a little more muddled. Yankees are probably in, but not totally yet. Tampa's in. White Sox are in. Astros are as close as you can be to in. And then it'll be probably the Yankees and either Red Sox or Blue Jays. But the other baseball story was crazy. So the Milwaukee Brewers have a reigning rookie of the year. He's a setup man, and he's incredible with the Brewers. He went out for drinks after they lost Sunday. I'm sorry, after they clinched a playoff, the title on Sunday. He went out for drinks and punched a wall with his throwing hand. Broken hand, needs a plate in his hand. He's done for the year. What are you doing, dude? What on earth are you doing? His name is Devin Williams. And listen, he's 27, so I don't know that I can call him like a young kid. But dude, that is such an idiotic move. Like, now you're going to punch a wall? I will admit, I punched a wall when I was 14. I think I might have broken my pinky out of extreme frustration that my parents would not let me, like, go hang out with friends who were hanging out with some girls. And I was like, you know, idiotic young kid. Punched a wall. I don't know if I broke anything, but I wasn't pitching on a contender in the National League. I mean, you just let down your entire team, dude. Unbelievable. All right, quickly to the NFL. I know Jay Glazer. I've known him for a while. When I first moved out here, one of the first people I talked to was Glazer because I'd already known him. And he said, yeah, come up to my gym. Let's work out. I go to work out in like one of his classes at this gym that he's got in West Hollywood. And there's like an actor from Ballers. some heir to some like makeup fortune, who was in like the group, and you know, she's obviously pretty attractive and in extremely good shape. And I'm like, oh wow, who's that Glazer? And he tells me, oh yeah, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, nice. And I'm just like, this is fun. And Glazer and I have been friends for a while. I haven't seen him in a minute, but he put out something yesterday that is a little out of character for him. And I say out of character because he's not the kind of guy who just floats stuff. Anybody can float stuff. Glazer really doesn't just toss stuff out there. That's just not how he operates. And he put out a tweet that said, you know, keep an eye on this situation. And that would be Deshaun Watson and the Texans trading him. Glazer said, as for teams, to me, Miami makes the most sense and probably has the best chance to pull it off if a deal gets done. Take a look at the Miami Dolphins. Just lost to the Raiders. Jacoby Brissett had to throw 55 passes. Tua's on the IR. Even if he comes back, he ain't going to be taking him to the promised land. Okay? Folks, we've talked about on this pod, the Miami Dolphins want him badly. Carolina had wanted him. Albert Breer came on here, said Carolina's in the mix, Philly's in the mix. Philly, it's funny, Jalen Hurts has the awesome opener. And everybody's like, oh, well, maybe Jalen Hurts is a guy. 2 games later, he ain't the guy. Carolina, interesting. Undefeated. Sam Darnold playing well. Dallas this weekend. If they happen to win that as 4.5-point dogs, and by the way, interesting line movement. I thought the line would instantly go up after Dallas smoked Philly in primetime. You'd think public come in heavy on Dallas. Who's going to be betting Carolina? The pros seem to be on Carolina. Very interesting. I did not anticipate it. No Christian McCaffrey, we know. I like that Carolina defense. I'm on Dallas in this spot. But if Darnold wins this, like, yeah, I know you've always got to upgrade the quarterback. I don't know how at this juncture you're making a move for Deshaun Watson. I mean, you don't want to miss the boat on Watson, but I'm not sure how that's their top priority right now. They just added C.J. Henderson, the cornerback from Jacksonville. They want to win now. They can get to the playoffs in that division. It's Tampa. I think Carolina's better than the Saints. They already beat them, but it was just one game. Watson and Miami, man, you know, this would be super depressing if you're a Jets fan. Josh Allen in the division, nearly the MVP winner last year. He's one of the MVP favorites this year. Yet to deal with Tom Brady for 2 decades. And now you're going to add Deshaun Watson, who's basically been a top 5 or 6 quarterback since, you know, the last 5 years or 4 years. Like, that's just brutal for my Jets. We can't catch a friggin' break. At any rate, so those are the top stories heading into Thursday Night Football. Bengals, Panthers, but before, I'm sorry, Bengals, Jaguars. But before we get to that game, Rufus Peabody from unabatedsports.com.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire a guest who is a professional gambler. He has created a what appears to be a pretty cool website that can help kind of gamblers put together, I guess, algorithms. I'm going to be talking to somebody, probably the first time ever on this podcast, who's smarter than me, even though we did have his friend Preston Johnson on here. But Rufus Peabody, co-founder of Unabated Sports, a graduate of Yale University. Rufus, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You do a podcast also with Jeff Ma, I would call him a former friend of my old radio show, but he all of a sudden stopped talking to me, returning my text. But you guys do a podcast that I try to listen to during football season. That's pretty good. It's strictly by the numbers gambling, right? There's no emotions to it. And that's the kind of thing I like about you. You're not emotional at all. Like, I could ask you about like the Kansas City Chiefs secondary and your response would be?
I don't know. I'll say right. I am an emotional person. I just do not treat my betting in an emotional way.
That's difficult, is it not? I mean, for instance, you're a huge golf gambler, right? And and I don't just mean like you're a big gambler, like you move markets, and I Preston's told me all the great stories. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but are you emotional when you follow your golf bets?
You know, it's honestly, it's been kind of a journey over the years because I've been betting for a living for 12 years. And there's at the beginning, I definitely, I guess, got higher and lower than I do now. And so it takes a lot, I guess, for me to really get down due to my betting. But it can happen. You know, we're all human. So I try to, I mean, there's weeks I don't even really look at what's going on and I just see at the end. But I mean, I love golf too, though. So I kind of like, you know, I like having a sweat on Sunday, having a guy in the mix on the back nine, and well, then I watch him implode if it's this year.
So you hosted, from what I heard, a pretty good golf event over this past weekend in Vegas. You care to talk about that? Did you dominate people on the golf course? Or no,
it was myself, Jeff Ma, Shane Sigsby, who's a plus 3.3 handicap. He's really, really good. Another guy. And it was more just Jeff and I playing a match, which we talked about a lot. And Jeff and I had never actually played golf together before. I think I played to a 7.6 handicap. Jeff played to, I think, a 19. But
okay,
you know, it was fun. We had $100 on front nine, 100 back nine, 200 overall. I shot one over on the front.
Jeez.
And it was six. It was match play. I was up six, and he had pressed a bunch of times too. So basically Jeff wanted to bet 500 on the back, just so if he won the back, he'd break even. He did win the back, but I pressed a little bit at the end. So I won and ended up holding a 12-foot par putt on 18 to sort of clinch these pressed bets. And so I came out $300 ahead and I won the match. So I'm happy to say that I'm 1-0 against Jeff.
So how are you able to play so much golf? You know, that's the one sport I can't really get into. It's like a 4 or 5 hour ordeal. You know, that's like half your day. I mean, you gamble on all sports, right? How are you able to find time to play golf?
Not everything. I mean, right now I'm doing more golf than anything else. And I'm doing football, but I don't do college basketball. I don't do NBA, don't do NHL.
Oh.
And I quit doing Major League Baseball because the thing is, it's harder and harder to win in sports betting now. There's more data available. I firmly believe markets tend toward efficiency, and that's the case with sports betting markets. And so I feel like in a way I'm better off being essentially expanding my network and avenues to get down in the sport that I'm the best at than I am in trying to be pretty good at a bunch of sports, which is, you know, for a while it's still a lot. College football, NFL and golf, it's a lot of time. And as a result, I don't actually get out on the golf course much. I've played twice in the last month. There's certain times of the year where I can, and certain times of the year when I can't. And football season, is really tough, especially right now with the unabated launch too. So.
Right. So we'll get to the site in a sec. I just want to know, I tried to find a profile of you online. There really isn't one. But what is a really super smart dude who goes to Yale? Why get involved in sports gambling of all things?
So
how did that happen?
You know, it happened by accident, Jason. I've always loved the numbers side of sports. In fact, I like read baseball box scores in first grade when I don't even know if I knew how to read yet, but I loved the numbers and I ended up talking my way into an internship with Las Vegas sports consultants when I was in college, and it actually got Yale University to pay for it because I was going to study. I was going to do a senior thesis on preserving the integrity in amateur athletics or something like that. And, you know, with college sports and I ended up doing a senior thesis on psychological inefficiencies in the baseball betting market and took a job working for LVSC for $25,000 a year out of college. But I loved it. It was like academia for sports, really. I was surrounded by a bunch of people who loved this stuff, had been doing it for years. I learned so much, and I, you know, was betting on the side, building my own models as well. And made connections, met the right people, met a group that was willing to take a chance on me, gave me a free roll for the 2009 baseball season, and you know, that the rest is history, I guess. I've been betting for a living ever since, but I never anticipated being a professional gambler.
Just for the audience who was probably curious, do you care to say how much the free roll was or even ballpark it, or do you not put numbers on
it? No,
things?
I get it. 20%. It was 20% of net profits. Oh,
wow. And then, of course, I'm assuming you crushed it, right?
Well, the first, we had a nice run at the beginning of the season. And after a month, I had made basically the equivalent of my yearly salary at LVSC. And these guys were like, why the hell are you still working there? You're making the lines sharper, so it took probably longer than I should to sort of decide to quit, but I eventually did. And it was a great decision, obviously.
Yeah. So now we have people on who, you know, get frustrated with the industry and you can't get down as much money and the runners and all this. How are you handling all this? Because I'm assuming, you know, Jeff Ma had been on my show and he tells me he's been banned from poker. He can't play poker in Vegas in certain places. Are you able to just easily bet or do you have to get creative?
It depends on the shop. I mean, I get frustrated just like the next sharp about it. Offshore books like BetCris, Pinnacle, they tend to take action from everybody, and including sharps, and they're market making books. They take a bet and move the line, and as a result, I mean that's why you see all these U.S. operators and paperheads and basically softer books copying those numbers because they know that sharps have essentially bet into those numbers, and the process of price discovery has moved that number to efficient price or more efficient, the most efficient price out there. And so I've had my struggles, of course, with US books and getting limited just, you know, and so there's, I mean, as a professional bettor, you definitely have to be a little bit creative. And a lot of it is having partners, both in the US, Europe, who are able to get down and you have agreements where you're sharing the equity and that's legal. And it's, you know, I think it's the best way to, it's the way you kind of have to do it.
Yeah. But, so, for instance, NFL week four, some of the lines are moving and it's interesting. Let's just take Green Bay, Pittsburgh. So Circa, which everybody considers one of the sharper books in Vegas, would you agree? Or?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
They will take bets from anybody and they move based on who you are and how much you're betting.
So they have Green Bay 6.5 over Pittsburgh. Other places have started to move it, 7 even, 6.5 with some juice. So what does it mean that Circa hasn't bumped up yet? For the layperson, does that mean that maybe Circa knows they can't go to 7 because all the sharps will come in at 7 on Pittsburgh?
It may mean they've seen some sharp action on Pittsburgh and they have a bit of an opinion. Circa is willing to take a bit of an opinion. So, you know, occasionally the market, if you see the market for, let's say, a college football totals, you know, 56.5 at a bunch of places and it's 57.5 at it's Circa, you can bet they probably got a bet from someone they respect who's a long-term winner on that over and they moved it. And so I would say they have gotten action they respect on Pittsburgh or they have an opinion there and are willing to take bets there. So.
And so tell me about your site Unabated and how it factors into all this. Cause like, you know, not a lot, listen, you know, the sports fans, Rufus, they're not the smartest dudes, right? They're not out here building models. Okay. You understand that.
Right.
You know, there's fan is short for fanatic. You know, these guys aren't building models, but your site can kind of sort of help these guys, right?
Yeah. So basically our goal with the site is to, in a way, allow people to quantify their opinions. And sports betting is supposed to be fun. And you're right, not everybody's going to be a professional. Not everybody's building their own models. But I mean, think about why people play fantasy football. It's not to win some champ. It's to win the league championship, have bragging rights over their friends. But it's the game of it. And to me, I mean, I've always, what I love about sports betting isn't the money. It's the competition. It's being able to. I have a scoreboard at the end of the day. I won or I lost. And I track my profit and loss and I have a return like ROI. And it is essentially a way to validate if I'm good at this or not, if my opinions are good. In my case, it's my models. But I believe you're right. Sports fans are fanatics and they believe they have opinions about their teams and other teams. And so we have a product, an NFL simulator that allows you to use your own NFL power ratings or a bunch of publicly available systems that we have. Such as ESPN's FPI, Pro Football Focus, NumberFire, Team Rankings. And you know, if you have your own, you can upload that. But you can use these sort of as a starting point and essentially run simulations that are, you know, you can customize things. You can say, I think Lamar Jackson has a 7% chance of getting injured each game. I wonder what that does to the Ravens and their chances of winning the division or making the Super Bowl. And so you can say, I think Seattle has a greater home field advantage. I want to set that number up. You can even change dynamic uncertainty, which is basically how a team's rating evolves over time. So let's say going into the season, I think it was probably fair to say that there was more uncertainty with the Jacksonville Jaguars, with Urban Meyer going from college to the NFL, a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. You know, maybe Lawrence sets the league on fire. Maybe he had struggles, which is what has happened.
It's early.
Right. Like, they're a team that you didn't really know who they were as much. Whereas there are other teams, kind of as Denny Green said, you know, we are who they thought they were. And so there are teams that you can be a little more certain of who they are going into the season. Maybe the New York Giants, for example, a lot of the same guys. Daniel Jones has already had some time. And so basically you can ratchet that up or down. We have it at sort of the optimal, what I found to be the optimal using, you know, data analytics. But if you think for all teams, but you can modify that. And so the point, and then you can run these simulations, simulate the rest of the season. You get projected win totals, odds to win the division, the conference, the Super Bowl, and it integrates with an odds screen and it'll pinpoint where you have value based on your simulation. So you can start with one of these power rating systems and then say, you know, I don't think, you know, I think Tampa Bay is better than they think. I'm going to bump them up. And so it's kind of fun to tinker with it and fun to
Shouldn't we not, like, who cares what Joe Bob thinks about Tampa Bay? Like,
Joe Bob,
let's just hear what the computer, doesn't
Joe Bob care?
Right, but in terms of gambling and winning, like, I want to hear what the computer's numbers say. For instance, this week, right, Tampa Bay against goes back to face Belichick. And, like, everybody and their mom thinks Brady is going to kick Belichick's ass, he's got payback, blah, blah, blah. But I don't, what do we know? Like, I don't think anybody, no person out there has any intel on that, right? Shouldn't we trust the computer more?
Well, I mean, I certainly do, but there's different computer models out there. And so, and you can do that. You can say, I want to use, you know, the Massey Peabody model, which is the system I have. You can say, I want to, you know, maybe you want to weight that with FPI, ESPN's NFL FPI, or you could average a bunch of them together, a bunch of these computer models together. And the interesting thing with this too, is that, you know, normally if I use a market number, I would never show value on a game, right? Basically, the market says right now that, you know, Pittsburgh is a 6.5 to a 7-point underdog to Green Bay.
Yep.
But you could use essentially a market number and still show value on futures because, I mean, that's the power of the simulator here. I mean, we're able to quantify the uncertainty in a team's rating and how that rating changes over time. You know, it's just because a certain team's 6 points better than another team right now doesn't mean that's what they'll be at the end of the season. Injuries happen. Teams get better or worse, right? I mean, Belichick's teams over the years, New England always started slow. And I think there was this notion that Belichick experimented a little bit early in the season and saw what worked. And then they always played better late in the year. And I mean, maybe that's a Brady thing, who knows, but not a Belichick thing, but those teams of ratings evolve. And so it's a way to, you know, it's a way to find value in sort of I guess it's a derivative market in a sense.
Yeah. I just wonder because, you know, I do some of these TV shows and then the former athletes will come on and be like, anytime you hit them with some numbers that disagrees with their argument, they're like, well, you know, when I played, and that's like the check, please. Like, hey, when I played, like, right. You could come to me and say, hey, you know, Andy Reid off a bye week is incredible. That's 80%. Well, Andy Reid in September, all his numbers, and they're 1-2. But for futures market and values, would you agree that now the Kansas City Chiefs, having lost two, they've covered twice in their last 14 or something insane, don't you think there's now futures value on Kansas City, or do any of your models show that?
I don't actually. I think there's more value on a team like the Raiders. I mean, I think, I don't think the Raiders are more like, you know, I don't think the Raiders are a better team or anything, but
right.
Kansas City is two games behind. They're two games behind two teams and one game behind another team. And so they've dug themselves a bit of a hole. There's a lot of time to come back, but they certainly have to be they're going to have to, you know, I don't want to say be perfect, but be a little bit better. But of course, they're still, I mean, the thing is they're such a public team that I don't think their odds are going to drop enough. So in the simulations I just ran today using the Massey Peabody numbers, and this is my quantitative system. It's, you know, it's not the gospel or anything like that. It's, you know, you should probably average it with a, you know, regress it to a market number as well. But I make the Chiefs a 14 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. Looks like Circa has 7 to 1. You know, if I ran it, let's see, I can compare. I ran some simulations with some other systems, using Pro Football Focus's, power ratings. Pro Football Focus actually still shows value on the Chiefs. They make them 5.7 to 1. And so, and then
what do you think is the big disconnect? Why are you guys so low on them? Just because their defense has been awful this year? The numbers are that bad, or
their defense has been very bad. I think that is going to be the thing that hurts them. Like, I think they have an elite offense. I'm not doubting that. But if you look at how their defense has performed right now, I have them, they've been 8th percentile. Like, basically think of it as a grade 0 to 100. They graded it as like 8 on rushing defense, 2 on passing defense, 6 on play success, and 13 on scoring efficiency. So basically they're at the bottom of the bottom.
What is more predictive,
defense,
offense or defense going forward this season?
100%. Right. And that's why Kansas City can have, if they have the worst defense in the league and the best offense in the league, they're still going to be a very good team. And honestly, right now it's fairly close to that, you know?
Yeah. I want to ask, like, the word predictive is the big thing, because listen, Rufus, you know that gambling's huge now among TV networks, and anybody with a pulse has a take on a game, but nobody really has predictive models. I don't know. Do you value, other than Massey Peabody, Football Outsiders? I don't know. Where do you see the most value, and how can anybody listening to this put it into unabated and come up with the best numbers?
Well, first off, the NFL is very tough to win in.
Yes.
It's yeah. And so I have a lot less trust in my NFL numbers than I do for other sports. And so, so for the NFL, it is something where I will look at some other systems, other, you know, like for example, ESPN's FPI. I know the guys that behind building that, and I know that they're incorporating some of these metrics based on stats I don't even have access to with the next gen, and they have the pass blocking win rates and things like that. And so, you know, I might look and see that they're also on the same side as me or something. And so that is, which I'm not going to be doing for something like golf or college football as much, where I have a little bit more trust, because those markets aren't quite as efficient.
Yeah.
But for example, for the simulator, you can average these different models and basically get a sense of, I guess, what the computers overall are saying.
I do wonder, like, it sounds smart. It sounds awesome. It sounds like it's a great tool, but we just talked about sports fans. You know, these are guys who are largely eating Cheetos and drinking beer on the couch. Are they going to be putting all these numbers in to help themselves? Or do you think ultimately, like, that's a struggle to convert people to something that can help them?
It's a good point. Like, people, the problem I think right now is in this space, the picks really drive content a lot, and people want to be given the answer rather than be, I guess people want to be given a fish rather than be taught how to fish. And so I don't think we're necessarily for everyone, but I think, what we want to do is help someone, kind of move up the ladder. I don't want to say lose less, but, we have tools that are going to help you, trim that house edge. We have, derivative trading tools where you can say, you know, I see that, this one book offers -2.5, -115 on this game, and another book is -3 even money, which is the better price. Would I rather bet -7 for the game or -3.5 for the first half if I like this team? And so, and you can price out derivative markets. You know, if a team is pick, what's the probability of covering +14.5, you know, alternate sides, alternate totals, and be able to trim down the house edge that way, or even just find things where things are blatantly mispriced, which happens all the time at these US books, because they have so much surface area they have to defend, because they offer so many different markets, and it's impossible to price them all. Price them all well. So, but to your question, you know, Joe Public, Joe Public, like, well, if he has an opinion, he, you know, he might, and you're, I mean, if he likes the Browns and thinks they're the best team in the NFL, maybe, you know, he could essentially use that in his rating on the Browns. He probably doesn't have a rating though, and sort of quantify his opinion with that simulator. But I think our target audience is someone that is, I guess, I don't want to say a little more sophisticated, but someone that kind of wants to grow. And
how did you identify that target audience?
Sorry, what do you mean by that?
Like, how did you guys find out, like, here's who we are targeting, and then how did you build their profile?
So I thought about building products for that I would want to use.
Okay.
As a better that, and that I thought would, I guess, a better that is looking to improve, would be able to sort of plug in, like, I guess, create an infrastructure for them to use their own numbers or other numbers out there, and to essentially be able to do things with that, to be able to quantify their opinion.
Right.
So, and you know, we'll see if it works. I think that I've been really overwhelmed by the support we've gotten so far, and how many people have found it really useful. And so I honestly didn't know what to expect exactly, because, you know, but the thing is, we are different. There's all this content out there that is targeted. Well, I guess that is targeting, a different segment of the population.
What would you want to call it? The lowest common denominator?
Yeah, it is. And that's a really good way of putting it, Jason, because, you know, when I did stuff at ESPN, that's basically what we had to do. And same with Jeff, like, we had to target the lowest common denominator, on our segments. And so I think the way the world is going now, though, you see more and more niche sites pop up, you know, because people have different interests. Not everybody wants the same thing.
Yeah.
And certainly our site isn't for everybody. But if you want to become a better and get the most out of your sports betting, I mean, I think it's fantastic. We have a big education component. Captain Jack is one of our co-founders. He's kind of been this huge advocate for bettors on Twitter. And
I got to ask quickly about him, but I want to go back to something you said. Like, if I heard somebody talk about this, where, like, if you want to be an average person, you walk through the airport, you look at the books that they're selling at the bookshop, everybody's reading those books. If you want to be average, go read those books. Now, if you don't want to be average, you want to be smarter, you want to be next level, you want to be creative, you got to go find other stuff that's really going to push the envelope. And I think that's kind of what Unabated is doing, right? Because, I mean, anybody can go to ESPN and all these other websites and find generic stuff and, like, oh, yeah, I think this is a great call. But if you want to go next level, I think you kind of got to incorporate what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and you know, we're just getting started here. I have so many ideas for products, and I do want to have stuff where that helps people build their own models. Where down the line, I mean, if I can convince my other co-founders that this would actually be popular, I don't know. I mean, you know, to where someone we could host a model. Someone says, I want my model to factor in these such and such stats. And I want to, you know, I want to eliminate week 3 and 4 for this team because they had all these injuries, and, you know, basically figure out how I'd price that. So you're right. I mean, that's certainly not something that is going to appeal to the average bettor, but we do have a lot of things that are, I think will also target basically, I mean, will help any bettor. For example, you know how there's, I mean, unless you're living under a rock, you've seen all these commercials for operators, for sports books that are all and all the risk-free bets and risk-free bets, which aren't actually risk-free, by the way, but
there's no such thing as a risk-free bet.
Oh, it's true. But they're fantastic deals for bettors, though. But a lot of bettors don't know the right way to maximize the value from it. And it's, you know, betting an underdog on a risk-free bet is much better because you do not get your original stake bet back. And so we have, you know, we have an article about that and how to sort of maximize that and actually make it risk-free. If you sign up at a bunch of different books and you can bet one side at one side at the other, if you want. But so, I mean, we definitely do have content geared towards educating bettors and sort of helping them move up that ladder of sharpness, if you will.
We had Darren Ravel on from Action Network. Was Captain Jack previously at the Action Network?
He was not, no.
Oh, okay. I thought he might have been. But I'm curious as to your thoughts on all these, like, you know, the gambling cottage industry, where there are a bunch of websites and everybody's putting out picks. And then you got guys on social media freaking out about it, and mostly anonymous. How do you stay above the fray? Me personally, I just block a lot of these ass clowns. But I don't know, like, whether you care about that and all these other sites that are popping up and trends and all that fun stuff.
So, I mean, I'm not a huge proponent of especially pick selling. I think it's, you know, I think that there are issues, there are big issues with that. And I've been pretty vocal about it.
Yeah.
But you know, on Twitter, I've gotten blowback. I feel like I've gotten blowback from people that sell picks that are accusing me of being anti, like too anti-tout. And I've gotten blowback from people that are really anti-tout and say, I'm giving touts too much of a platform. So you can't win. I think in the long run, you just have to, you have to do you. And like, I'm my own harshest critic. And honestly, Jason, the experience for me on Twitter, I mean, I guess I have a decent number of followers now, which I never expected to have, but the experience of like, I guess getting feedback, both positive and negative, from people all the time, is one that was difficult, because it's hard not to like internalize it to some degree, but you know, it's actually helped. But going through that experience has gotten me to a point now where I'm like, really accept myself and I'm comfortable with myself. And if someone's an asshole to me, then you know what? It's fine. I mean, if I accept myself.
Well, wait, hold on. What changed? Did you get married? Do you have kids now or what?
I don't, but I've been working on myself, you know, over the last, I'd say 4 or 5 years a lot, and trying to, I mean, I think living a life that is yours and that, I guess, works for you is really important.
Yeah. I think tuning out.
You know, I don't want to look back at age 65 and say, why was I spending all my time on this? Like, I want to know knowing what makes you happy. And so for me, honestly, this sort of, it's self-acceptance. It's being like, if I can accept my weaknesses, if I'm open about my weaknesses, my vulnerabilities, my insecurities, then nothing anybody else says can hurt me.
Yeah.
Which is,
I mean, I like the attitude. I have seen it, you know, up close and personal, ruin people who care what these jabronis have to say on social media.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they don't have a wife to go home to. They don't have a sibling. They don't have kids. They have nothing. They go home to themselves and then they just look at Twitter for 6 hours, and that'll fry your brain. That's just not healthy.
No, it's true. But you have to, I mean, I think you have to, you have to accept yourself, though. I mean, I think that's the key. And you have to, I mean, happiness comes from within. If your happiness depends on what people are saying about you on Twitter, then you're outsourcing. You don't have control over it. You're saying, I'm going to let something else determine my happiness. It's outside of my control. That just, you know, it's.
All right. So why don't you get out? We'll get out of here with if do you have a winner you want to give us? Well, it could be golf next week. College football, NFL, and I know that you're going to balk at that, but...
Sure. Well, I
the people want to hear what Rufus... By the way, and a lot of people, and I've heard Jeff Ma goes on Kornheiser sometimes, and I've heard Kornheiser ask, is Rufus Peabody your real name? Can I just ask that?
It is my real name.
Okay, because I know a lot of these gambling people come up with fake names because they're sharp vetters or whatever. They got to hide. And you're from Northern Virginia, huh?
I am. I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, went to T.C. Williams High School.
Yeah, I went to Lake Braddock.
Remember the Titans movie?
Yeah, I definitely know T.C. Williams. Yeah, so you're a little younger than I am, but...
I was, I ran cross country and track, and we competed and played tennis. We competed against Lake Braddock.
Are you good at tennis?
Patriot District. Apparently, it's not the Patriot District anymore.
It's not anymore.
No,
Wait, how good are you at tennis?
I don't play much anymore.
Were you like a 4-0 or no?
I don't even... Honestly, I have no idea what I am in the ratings. Right. I mean, I played number 4 singles, I think. I mean, I played varsity all 4 years, but I wasn't.
Oh, geez.
Great. I wasn't great. We didn't.
Well, T.C. Williams didn't. Yeah, no, you guys didn't have a good time.
Robinson was very good.
Robinson was good. They were our big rivals. Yes. All right. So back to your winner. College golf. Please no WNBA though. Nobody wants to get down on that. No. Even though there's a big edge there, Preston says it all the time.
You know, I'll give you a college. I'll give you a college pick. How about a college and an NFL?
People would love that.
More likely, there's at least one winner.
And then when you go 2-0, people, you got to get Rufus back on. Come on.
But I'll tell you that. Like, look, I'm giving out a pick which I expect, like, for example, this college pick, I think has a 54.8% chance of winning, which is a nice edge. That's, you know, you can make a lot of money with picks. You know, you can make a lot of money betting things with a 54.8%.
54, okay.
That's the way it works.
Hopefully it's Cincinnati.
The Michigan State -10.5 against Western Kentucky.
Wow.
And
I took Michigan State last week. They didn't cover it overtime.
I know
I'll write that
Western
down.
Kentucky has a new coach, offensive coordinator, and system. But besides that, I can't tell you too much.
They had an interception in overtime. The kid almost ran it back for the cover, and then he got tackled at like the three, and they just settled for the field goal. So I didn't get the cover last week. Bad bet on Michigan State. And the NFL one?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with the circa one. I'll give you Pittsburgh here. I like Pittsburgh.
6.5?
Yeah.
So any chance you think we'll see a 7 at circa or definitely not?
I don't know at circa. I mean, I think line shopping is hugely important.
Yeah.
I have it in my spreadsheet written as 6.75 is the current market because it's, you know, it was in between a 6.5 and a 7.
All right, fine. Dumb question on Pittsburgh. And I know that quarterbacks matter more than anybody, but
they certainly do.
TJ Watt, once he left that game against the Raiders, they had no pass rush. He did not play last week. It was the first time they didn't have a sack in like 75 games, some ridiculous stat. If he doesn't play against Aaron Rodgers, does that matter at all to you and this pick?
Oh, of course it matters.
Okay.
I can't say how to quantify that exactly. I mean, teasing out the value of a player, like a defensive player, in a system where there's a lot of moving parts is very difficult.
Yeah.
It really is. But of course it matters.
All right. He's Rufus Peabody, genius from Yale. So Rufus, you'll never have to work a day job the rest of your life, right? At this stage, given where you are right now.
Right, right.
Dude, that's awesome.
But the thing is, look, I mean, I have unabated. I have some other things going on. I mean, it's like, it's a grind, man. I have a lot, you know.
Nobody said life was easy.
I mean, too much.
If life were easy, we'd all be doing what you're doing. Come on, nothing's easy. Well, congrats on all your success, man. And, you know, keep up the good work. And I think unabated is a good product. I have already mentioned it to a couple friends. So, and it's free to use, right?
It is.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. All right, man. Thanks a lot for your time, Rufus.
Thank you so much, Jason. Enjoyed it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
Tremendous stuff from Rufus Peabody. Just an interesting guy. I mean, Yale, I don't want to say borderline genius, but he seems like he's really sharp. Creating all these models to win money at golf and NFL, and now starting a website to kind of help us little people. I'm impressive guy. Definitely not what I thought he would be. Because, you know, you listen to the guy's podcast, he sounds like he's got an ego. And maybe that's their shtick. They have like a funny back and forth. And frankly, I haven't listened to it in a minute. So I don't know if the ego is less than it used to be. But he's smart. He's smart. He's wealthy. And those guys tend to have egos. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, hell, we all have egos. I just don't display mine on this podcast. At any rate, let's get to the best bet here for Thursday Night Football. I actually am super intrigued by the Jaguars at the Bengals, and I don't care about all the numbers on rookie quarterbacks on Thursday Night Football and the short week. And folks, I have money line action on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I took the 7.5 points. I'm of the belief that, yes, the Bengals are pretty feisty this year. They're coming off a big win over a division rival in Pittsburgh, and they're not in a position to be favored by 7.5 over anybody. I know it's tough to hold your nose and bet money on a Jacksonville team that looks like a train wreck and can't move the football against anybody. But let's remember, they couldn't move the football against the Denver Broncos, who were really good. They were able to hang tough against Arizona until a bad pick six by Trevor Lawrence. I think if they can limit the mistakes against Cincinnati, why can't they hang in this game? Now, the secondary is going to have some trouble with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and the gang. I don't see why they can't hang. Now, everybody's selling Jacksonville to the point that this total opened up at 49. It's down to 46. People just think, rookie quarterback, rookie coach, Thursday night, they're going to get their asses kicked. They're not going to score. It's going to be like a 30-10 or something bad like that. We're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. We're talking about Zach Taylor. The guy did not turn into a brainchild overnight when this season began just because they're 2-1. Like, yes, I like Burrow. Yes, I like the Bengals. But 7.5? So I bet Jacksonville here. I will put some props on IG stories later today once the prop numbers come out and I dig into them. but I like Jacksonville here. Not a huge bet from me. Not even like a full unit play. I did a half unit on Jacksonville and then a little bit on the money line. Part of it is, and this is the emotional stuff that Rufus and I talked about, like, you're supposed to remove the emotion from this. That being said, I was very, very pro Jacksonville in the offseason. You guys remember it. I thought they'd win the division. I thought they were going to the playoffs. I did. I was bullish on Trevor Lawrence. Still am. I thought, and we even talked to somebody who said, Urban Meyer, sometimes when these college coaches come in, they have an edge because there's no book on them in the NFL. Urban Meyer hadn't coached in 2 years. He should be performing way better than he is. Is this the spot? Well, I mean, undeniably, this is the weakest defense that Trevor Lawrence will have faced since the opener. And again, it was his opener first game. Like, come on, you really expect him to be very good? But we're talking about a Bengals defense right now that is average at best in the league. And like, you know, they were okay against the Vikings. They look better against the Steelers because, well, the Steelers have nothing and can't move the football. And then against the Chicago Bears, you know, who are a pretty good defense, they couldn't move the football for three quarters until Justin Fields started to give them the ball. Joe Burrow stopped turning it over and they got in the game late. But it's not a great Bengals team. I like the Bengals, but I bet the Jags here and on the money line. And yeah, I'm probably going to be tooting my horn a little bit on tomorrow's podcast when Trevor Lawrence delivers. We'll talk to you tomorrow.